Thank you so much, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. We're very excited to have on the line from London. It is Suzy Quatro. There is a new documentary coming out called Suzy Q, which I enjoyed very much. I saw the advanced screening. And Suzy, thanks for being on. You were on Happy Days when I was in junior high, and I had a huge crush on you. Is that still okay to say that I, in 2020, that I had a crush on you?
Sure, it's okay not to say it. It's great. It's great. Well, it was a great show. And, I always hear from people about that age group, you know. That's how it goes. They're usually like 10 years younger, you know.
Right.
But yeah, it was a fabulous show to do. I was very happy to be part of it.
But it's an amazing documentary to think about. You know, you're in Detroit with your sisters, and you form these all-girl bands, and you got this huge bass that your dad gave you, and you're really good on it.
It's not a huge bass. Everybody says that. It's not a huge bass. I'm a small girl.
Okay.
It's a normal bass. And because I started on that, I had no idea that there were smaller basses. That's what I was given to learn, and that's what I learned. And then when I realized that there were other ones and smaller ones, there's no way. That's what I knew.
And it's great that, though, your brother Michael tells Mickey Most, who is Rack Records in England, check out my sisters. And it was, we could all see, no offense to your sisters, but you were the star. You had it. And he said, I just want you. And in the history of the music, that's happened all the time. You know, Clive Davis saw the Holding Company. He just wanted Janis Joplin.
It does happen. I've had this conversation many times. I'm very open, like you know, you see from the documentary. I'm a very honest, open person, and I insisted that the documentary be truthful, even if uncomfortable. You know, that's what I insisted on, and there were cringe moments in there. But I have had this conversation with a lot of different people through the years, and when you're the one with the, let's call it, X factor, okay?
Yeah.
And if you talk to other famous people, and I even hate that word, other people who are successful, and you ask them this question, and they don't tell you the following, they are lying to you. When you have that in you, you know it from a tiny child. You just know it. It's something in there that you know that people watch. Or if you're doing a song, they will watch. If you're playing something, they'll watch. If you're telling a joke, they'll listen. So you do realize very early on that you've got, I don't know, that audience command thing in you, you know? And the funniest bit about Mickey discovering me was I had been shoved to the background in that band. From the Pleasure Seekers, I was the front person. All the spotlights were on me. I sang just about every song. I was the showgirl up the front. Then when the Cradle was formed, I was shoved to the back just on bass. So Mickey saw a gig and only saw me do two songs. And yet he still picked me out and said, I only want you. So it just shows you that you can't hide. The point I'm trying to make is you can't hide that particular thing under a bushel. It doesn't work. It's going to come out sooner or later.
It's so true, and I love the piece of film where, you know, you're living in Mayfair by yourself, you're a kid, and you're on the piano and with the band, and Mickey's like, you know, write this part, don't write too much, and then call me, tell me what you have, see if I like it. And it's just, I mean, there are so many times when you could have just quit, and you're like, forget this, and it just, your ambition is just really remarkable.
I know. I'll tell you a funny bit, because I'm now working on the movie of my life. This documentary has just gone ballistic. It's had rave reviews around the world. Even the Financial Times gives it a 5-star review. Excuse me, the Financial Times. Anyway, what I was going to say was it's funny that you say that. I never considered stopping. There are tough moments like that, you know, and It's character building. All of it is character building. Whatever I had to go through was fine. I was doing a word cloud to go at the beginning of my film. I've been doing a word cloud. You know how that works. You put a bunch of words in, and everybody might give a word or two, and da-da. I've been asking everybody I know, famous and non-famous, give me 3 words to describe me. And it goes into this big word cloud. This is for my movie, which I'm working on the script now because of the attention that the documentary got. It's just been going crazy. And everybody's been giving me three words, and it's gone into this word cloud, and the word cloud grows and grows and grows, and the more said the word is, the bigger it gets, and then the biggest one goes in the middle, right? And I've had, I don't know how many words, maybe 500 words. I ask people three words to describe me. And guess what the number one word in the middle is?
Ambitious?
No, but close. Determined.
Hmm. Yeah,
see, that's
no, there's
a
no
whole
doubt.
Different, that's a whole different thing than ambition.
Yeah, you stuck with it.
Determined, yeah. And that really is me. And most everybody use that word. That's me. If I'm going to go somewhere, I'm going to go somewhere. I'm determined to get there.
We're speaking with Suzy Quatro, the new movie, Suzy Q. I think back, you know, you were 10 years later in 1983, if MTV had been there for you, you would be one of the biggest stars in the world right now. There's no doubt about it. But I think about that time, the most cringe-worthy moment of the movie is where you go on a chat show and the guy's like, let me check out that butt, and then he spanks
it. I know.
Can you imagine nowadays?
Yeah, that's actually going to be in the movie, too. I am totally 1,000,000% professional. This is the other word that got used a lot. I am professional. So I was on a live television show. Live. And that guy took his moment. It was quite clever. He took his moment on camera to do that. And through my head, normally he would be on the floor. If he had done that backstage, he would have been on the floor. My knee would have been in his balls within milliseconds. But on that live show, my little brain went tick, tick, tick real quick. And as I turned around, I thought, let it go. Let it go. Don't mess up the show. And he knew that. He knew that. But normally, no, he wouldn't have gotten away with that. But it was a quick decision. I think it was the right decision at the time, you know?
Well, the other thing, too, that I really admire, I think it's one of the only rock and roll docs I've seen where there's not rehab and drug abuse. And I just think about the way you were raised by your mom and dad. You just – that just wasn't you. You didn't want to snort all your money away. I admire that.
I was never going to be that kind of an artist. I'm in the business because still in the business because I love what I do. I put on my first passport, entertainer. And my father gave me the work ethic that stayed with me my whole life, that this is a profession. And that's how I treat it. It's a profession. I wasn't motivated by money. I wasn't motivated by fame as such. I was motivated by my need to do what I do. I don't need money now, but I love performing. I love creating. Right now I'm writing for the next album, you know. So I'm an artiste through and through from beginning to end. As you saw on the documentary, I've done a lot of everything, you know, but all within the entertainment ball of wax, if you like.
Well, you know, you're an inspiration to me, too, because in my career I've worked in TV and radio and I've written and I just kind of thought I want to do so many different things. And you went to the West End and you started doing theater. I just love the idea that you don't pigeonhole yourself.
I won't. I won't pigeonhole myself. There's a funny line in there that my sister Patty says, and I answer it. She says, she won't let anybody hold her back now. Her husband's not a – and I kind of think, well – why would you? You know, I don't understand. Why would you hold anybody back? I would never hold somebody back. Would you? Why would anybody want to hold somebody back?
Right, I know.
It just doesn't go in my brain. You know, bless you. You want to do something, go try it. Do it.
You know what else, too? I think it's for a lot of us, we're just now with this documentary getting to see your full discography, because for me, the song I knew the most was the one you did with Chris Norman, The Stumbling In, and that was kind of a departure for you, and that's a very catchy song. But I loved hearing – I even liked the Pleasure Seeker stuff. I mean, it was really good.
Yeah, there was some good – yeah, we were a good little band, the Pleasure Seekers. I didn't like Cradle so much, but Pleasure Seekers I liked. Yeah, that one with Chris, that was just a one-off song, and it's such an evergreen. People love it. I always do it live. But I have a lot, you know, I've sold 55 million records. I mean, I've had a lot of hits, but like it says in the documentary, something missed in those. I think I was too early, but I'm here now. Now it's time to get me back to America where I belong.
Last question for you. You, with your daughter and your son, I mean, when both your parents are rock stars, it's going to filter down. How cool was it that you finally gave in and started doing music with your son?
Oh, I know. And he was really, 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 you know, insistent on it. He wanted to write for me with years in. And then I just, all of a sudden, it felt like the correct time to do it. And he's been a real surprise to me. I didn't know he had it in him. He had a vision, you know. He had this vision of who he thought I was the whole time he was growing up. And he was clever. He said to me, "I want to remind you who you are." And I went, "Right, okay." All right, Richard. And now we're writing for the next one because they've taken up the option. And the No Control album that I did with him has had the best reviews of my entire career.
Great stuff. I could talk to you all day. Susie Quattro, live from London. The movie, you can check out more. SusieQMovie.com. It's going to come out. When it does, we'll mention it again. But anyway, I love this movie. I didn't want it to end. It really, really was good. And so congratulations
thank you.
That. Yeah, thanks. And if you ever find yourself in San Francisco, I'd love to have you come in the studio, too.
Well, you know, I was supposed to be there, you know, to do the opening, and then everything got canceled, of course, you know, what we're all going through. So when they reschedule, if I can be there, I will be there, okay?
Yep, the Sonoma Film
Good
Festival,
stuff.
For
okay,
sure.
Thank you so
thanks,
much.
Thanks, Susie. Really appreciate
Bye.
It. All right, I'm Rick Tittle. We will open up the lines at 1-800-878-PLAY. Susie Quattro, everybody, come on back.